Book of Isaiah, chapter 21, verse 1.
The burden of the desert of the sea, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me, the treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media. All the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain, pangs have taken hold upon me, as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it, and I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted, fearfulness affrighted me, the night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me.
Okay, now here the Isaiah, seeing the vision. Now he's seeing the vision that the enemies are coming to destroy the Babylon. But in this chapter, if you read it on, you will not know he's really talking about Babylon. But he's saying he saw the vision and he is so scared about this because the people who are coming to Babylon, they are very cruel people. And we'll be learning those people are, Elam and Med. Elam are the people from Iran, and Med's people today is those kind of some place in Iraq. And so Babylon is Iraq, but the some part of it, Median people used to live. So now they're together coming to destroy the Babylon. And when he saw the vision, he was so scared. And he says, I was so scared and so much pain, just like a lady having a birth pain. That's the way he said his heart, his body, his stomach, and all the parts of his body start hurting, and he was in lot of pain. And so he says, even his heart was so much scared because of this enemy coming. Verse 5.
Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield.
Now here is saying, eat and drink and arise, to he says in the princes, and anoint your shield. That means he is trying to say, he's seeing the people in the Babylon. If you know the Nebuchadnezzar, maybe a grandson, Belshazzar, he was having a party. So he's seeing that people are having fun. They are eating and drinking and having party. But he said, instead of that, those people should be ready for war. And so these people are having fun, not knowing the enemy is coming. Verse 6.
For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried a lion, My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights.
Now here he is saying, he saw the donkeys loaded with all kinds of weapons, and he saw horses, and he saw camels, and all of these armies are coming. And he's the only one, Isaiah is the only one seeing this. And he says, when I saw this, he was so scared. And he says, he could not even think about sleeping or taking rest. He says he was so troubled because of seeing this vision. And I was thinking, why Isaiah is in trouble? The Babylonian people are getting in trouble. Why Isaiah is feeling bad? But at that time, Israeli people were kidnapped, Babylonian people, and the Israeli people also living in there. So he is thinking, by mistake, these people start killing everybody, and our Israeli people will be dead, and they will be killed. So he was so worried about what's happening. So he is saying, Oh Lord, the lion is coming. Now it's a lion coming because he says the lion, how he comes speedily and comes roaring. That's the way these armies are coming, merciless people. They are coming to destroy this country. Verse 9.
And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground.
Now somebody's in watchtower is watching, and he says, I see also these horses and the armies are coming. And he says, not only that, he sees that all the images made by man, those all the images are falling on the ground. If you remember, you have to read the Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar made the feast, and he said, bring all these idols. And all these idols were in front of him, and then he was having fun. And then he said, let's bring the golden cups and golden vessels from the Israeli temple. We stored it. Bring those also. And he was having fun and thinking that he is giving glory and honor and praise to his idols. And that's what he was thinking. And so Isaiah saw in his vision all these idols are falling, and all the idols are destroyed, and the people are having fun and not knowing what's happening. Once the people are drunk, they don't care what's happening. Only the watchman is seeing, but even the watchman blows the trumpet or telling people, watch, but the king himself is drunk, and all the guests, they are drunk. They don't care what's happening, and they are having fun. And that's the time the enemy was attacking them. And if you remember, he saw the sign on the wall, and he could not read it. Nobody could read it. And then he called Daniel. And Daniel told the meaning, your kingdom is going to destroy because God gave you and you are fallen and you are worthless and you should repent. And tonight you might die. And he never repented. He even gave his grandfather's example how he did not listen to God. And one time he became like a mad dog, and he was in a jungle like an animal. And when he repented, God brought him back to his kingdom. All these stories he told him. And he says, you should repent. But he did not repent. And that same night, he was killed. Okay, verse 10.
Am I threshing under the corn of my floor? That which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you.
Now, he says to Israeli people, what's going to happen? Those enemy will come, and like a threshing floor, how the people and animal walk and on the grain to get the grain out. And that's the way whole land will be trampled by these enemies. Verse 11.
The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir, watchmen, what of the nights? Watchmen, what of the nights? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye. Return, come.
This is a different subject. He is seeing the vision of Dema. And now, when you see this, these are the people, are the children of Ishmael. And from them came these Arabian people and Muslim people. So there, he is also seeing this, that these people will be in trouble. Because Assyrian people already give the hard time to these people, and he says, how far the night is past, means the trouble is coming. Is that trouble passed away? He said, no, even the trouble night is past, a day coming, and another night is coming. Means he's saying, you are not free from the trouble. The trouble is coming. And if you read verse 13 onwards, there also he is telling all these Arabian people, he says, time is coming, and he is giving a time. They give only 1 year of time, and then you all will be destroyed. Because this Babylonian king was spreading the kingdom all around, and these people were captured and harassed. But this prophecy seems like 1 year time. But let's read a little bit further so we'll know. Verse 13.
The burden upon Arabia. In the forest in Arabia shall ye lodge, O ye traveling companies of Dedanim. The inhabitants of the land of Tema brought water to him that was thirsty. They prevented with their bread him that fled. For they fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the grievousness of war. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, within a year, according to the years of an hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fail.
The enemies are coming, and some people are dying, and this might be happening in the very summertime. And so he said, a Teman people, he says, why don't you prepare some cold water and food for your people? They are going to be destroyed. And I saw in India, some Muslim people in the summertime, they keep all the cold water, and they were giving water to the people. At that time, I didn't understand why these Muslim people are doing this. But here he's saying, you should be, when the people are in trouble, and when they are thirsty and hungry, you should give them food. This is all your people are dying. So be careful and helpful to them. From that, some Muslim people take that and they say, see how Muslim people are loving and kind and giving food and water and things like that. But now they forgot all these things, and now they don't help anybody, but they kill and destroy. Verse 16 and 17.
For thus hath the Lord said unto me, within a year, according to the years of an hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fail, and the residue of the number of archers, the mighty men of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel hath spoken it.
Now here is saying, I'm giving you time, a 1 year time. The hireling time means sometimes people hire somebody, they hire somebody and their salary is given end of the year. Here we get weekly salary, some places you get 2 weeks, some places get it once a month, but some places they give you salary once a year. So they have to work whole year. So he said, this is the timing. Within a year, the enemy is going to destroy you. But at the same time, he says, all these Kedar are also Muslims. And so he says, all these, the Muslim people, they are going to be destroyed. And if you want to know more about that, you have to go to the book of Obadiah and read about how God is going to destroy all these Arabian people. And so here he's saying, the enemy will come and destroy you within a year, but that's not the end of it. In the end time, the time of Armageddon, all these Muslim people will be destroyed. And that's what he's saying. And the chapter finishes here. We are going to go to Isaiah chapter 22, starting from verse 1.
The burden of the valley of vision, what aileth thee now that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops? Thou that art full of stir is a tumultuous city, a joyous city. Thy slain men are not slain with a sword, nor dead in battle.
Isaiah is seeing another vision. He's seeing the vision the people are going to the housetop. Now, I don't know why they're going on a housetop, but earlier we read in the book of Jeremiah, people had the idols and the housetop. And they were not only mountains under the green tree, and some of them had their idols in the housetop. So these people are going in a housetop and having fun, worshiping their idols and doing the sacrifice. You will be reading a little bit further, doing sacrifice and having fun. But Isaiah sees the vision. He's seeing the vision that enemies are coming. Now, these enemies are not like a Babylonian. Now, that's why these chapters are written not in chronologically. They are written in, you know, back and forth. So now these armies are, Assyrian armies are coming. And he's seeing the Assyrian army coming and for the battle. So he is saying to his people, you are going on the housetop. Don't you see the armies are coming? Don't you prepare yourself for war? Instead of preparing for war and getting ready to destroy the enemies, you are having no vision. Verse 3.
All thy rulers are fled together, they are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together, which have fled from far.
Now here is saying, all your armies and the great warriors, instead of getting ready for battle when the enemy comes, they are so scared, and their enemy is coming from far, and they are running for their lives, and they are going even the other countries to thinking that somebody will save them, and they are not preparing for war. Verse 4.
Therefore said I, look away from me, I will weep bitterly, labor not to comfort me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people.
Now he says, you know what I'm going to do? You don't understand my vision, you don't understand my pain, but I am going to weep and cry for the children of Israel. And I'm going to cry very bitterly, and at that time, please don't come to comfort me. I'm not going to listen to anybody. I want to cry for my people. In short, he's trying to say, I can feel the pain, but you don't feel the pain. I feel that destruction is coming, but you don't feel the destruction is coming. You're having a good time, but I'm telling you, if you are not listening to me, leave me alone. Let me cry. Let me weep. Let me pray to God for protection or protecting Israeli people. Verse 5.
For it is a day of trouble and of treading down and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls and of crying to the mountains.
He's seeing the vision that the enemies are coming and spreading in that valley. Hundreds and thousands of people are there, and they are camping there to destroy the children of Israel. But the Israeli people are busy doing something else. He's saying what the Israeli people are doing, instead of fighting with the army, they are trying to do, there was a water coming and they had a beautiful pool, silo. He's breaking that, diverting the water for somewhere, building two walls and the water coming in between, and they're thinking we'll be safe here protecting water and things like that. But at the same time, they didn't have the material to build this wall. So what they were doing, destroying the houses of poor people and taking the stones, you will be reading a little further, taking the stones from their houses and building the walls. Let's read verse 6.
And Elam bare the quiver with chariots of men and horsemen, and Kir uncovered the shield. And it shall come to pass that thy choicest valleys shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gates.
Now here is saying the time is coming, the enemies are coming, and they are camping all around your valleys, and they're going to come to destroy you. So you should be ready to defend yourself, but you are not listening. He says these people are coming from Assyria. Assyrian people are coming, and they are camping. And you know, we will be learning a little bit more. These Assyrian people were coming and camping, and they were trying to scare these Israeli people. And this is the time of Hezekiah. You remember Hezekiah, a famous king, and he did so many great things, and he was dying. So Isaiah came and said, hey, prepare yourself and you're going to die. And he turned his face to the wall and start crying and say, Lord, I did so many good things. Why are you killing me? Why don't you save my life? So Isaiah was just in the front yard. He says, go back and tell him that you're not going to die, you're going to live. And he came back and told him, you're going to live. God gave him 15 more years. That's the time these things were happening. Okay, verse 8.
And he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. He hath seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many, and he gathered together the waters of the lower pool.
David was from the Judah's family. He was a good warrior. And so instead of being good warrior, when the enemy is coming and enemy wants to kill you, that's the time you should be prepared and destroy the enemy. Instead of that, he's saying what they're doing, they are doing construction work. Verse 10.
And he hath numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses have he broken down to fortify the wall.
They are doing the construction work, building the walls, and they don't have enough stones. instead of going to the mountain and bring the stone, they are lazy. They are saying, okay, these poor people, they don't need a single house. They don't need a stone house. Let's break their houses. And those people start breaking their houses and building the walls. And God doesn't like that, because God always concerned about poor and needy people. And this king and these soldiers and other people, instead of defending themselves, destroying their own people's houses. Okay, verse 11.
Ye made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago.
Now here is saying, what you're doing, God has naturally made the water available for you, and God is concerned about you, and instead of that, you making your own ideas. You are making, you know, water going this to other way, and you are making the walls, and you are making the reservoir, and trying to break the houses and make the walls. You do not understand the will of God. You doing your own construction work and own things. Instead of protecting people, you destroying your people. Okay, verse 12.
And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth.
The word of God says, this time when the enemy comes to destroy you, and if you don't have a good warriors and you cannot defend yourself, instead of going and building the walls and building the dams, you should have been repenting. You should have been calling upon God. And you should be telling people, hey, let's pray and ask God that God can protect us. And exactly Hezekiah did that. Because what happened when the enemy came and the Assyrian king came, and he started blaspheming all kinds of bad things about Israeli people and their God and things like that. I destroyed Israel. I destroyed surrounding country. And their God did not protect them. Now this is Judah and Jerusalem. Start telling the people, don't listen to your king, because your king has no power. Your God has no power. We are going to destroy. And he sent the letter to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was so depressed. So he took the letter, went to the temple, put the letter in front of God and said, Lord, this is the enemy saying, please do something. And he sent some messenger to Isaiah, and Isaiah came and told these people, listen, don't worry. What's going to happen? Some bad news is going to come to this king, and he's going to leave this place and go, and then he will be going to his own place, and he will be killed. Exactly happened. And this man went to his temple to worship the idol. His own two sons, they came and killed him by the sword. And that same night, angel came and all these people were camping. He said, you know, all these people are camping there. You are not concerned. You are not praying. You are not repenting. But God was still concerned, because who was crying? Isaiah was weeping. Isaiah was interceding. And Isaiah was concerned about it. That's why he gave the good message to the king. Don't worry, because we are already, you know, prayed and intercede, and God is not going to destroy you. And that same night, the angel came, and 185,000 people were killed overnight. Okay, verse 13.
And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die.
Now he says, what you people are doing, I'm repenting, the king is repenting, but some of the people, they didn't care. They said, we see this death coming. All these thousands of armies all around us, we are going to be killed. So tomorrow we are going to die. So what is use? Let's go and have fun. And so they start cutting the animals, worshipping their idols, and start eating, drinking, and having fun. This is the way some people do. Somebody tells you the disaster is coming, the problem is coming, you should go into God, you should praying. Instead, they say, let's eat and enjoy. Tomorrow we are going to die. Just think the doctor tells you. You have 3 months to live, and you are going to die within 3 months. What people are supposed to do? They're supposed to go to church, talk to the pastor, talk to the church members, and say, please pray for me. And some people, please pray, and with the fasting and prayer, person will not die. Once you get the warning that you're going to die, what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to ask God that God should do some miracle. Instead of that, say, oh, I'm going to die anyhow, so let's enjoy. And that's why some people, when they are in deathbed, they say, what is your wish? And they will tell you the special dish they like. Cook that and give it to me. Even the last minute, they want to eat and die. But some people who are godly people, they are not worried about food and anything when they're dying. They said, I don't want to eat anything. I don't want to drink anything. Jesus Christ is coming. I'm going to go to heaven. Please don't cry for me. And we celebrate. Godly people, they are not afraid of dying. They don't think that something is remaining. I want to eat. I want to have this desire, that desire. Point I'm making, just like Isaiah, he's praying for the whole country and the people, and other people do not care. They say, let's eat and enjoy. Tomorrow we are going to die, so let's have fun. If somebody tells you tomorrow you're going to die, you should be very, very prepared, praying, asking God to forgive all of your sins, and call upon God and call your friends and tell everybody, please pray for me. Each night you go to sleep, at that time what you think? Tomorrow, I don't know, I'm going to be alive. Some people have 10 years, 20 years plan, but you don't know. Tomorrow is not yours. So nighttime, you should say, Lord, here I am going to bed. I don't know what I'm going to see another day. But you watch over me, because your word says you never sleep, you never slumber. I'm your child. I'm going to go to bed trusting that you'll take care of me. And you just go and sleep. Next day you get up, say, thank you, Lord, for giving me one more day. And just start your day with the praising. So sometimes some people, they are very selfish. They don't care about God. They don't care about other people. They just selfishly doing their own things. But the Isaiah is concerned. He's weeping. He's crying. He's saying, please don't disturb me. Don't bother me. And don't even come and say, please don't cry. I want to cry before God. And he was crying. Okay, verse 14.
And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die, saith the Lord God of hosts.
You are not repenting. You are not praying. You are not asking God to protect you or protect your country. This is a great sin. You remember what the Samuel said? If I don't pray for my people, that will be a great sin. Some people says, if I don't pray is a sin. Samuel says, if I don't pray for my people, it will be a sin. If you know how to do good and you don't do, that is sin. So you know how to pray and you don't pray, you know how to help somebody, you don't do it, that is sin. So here is saying, these people are committing sin, not praying, not preparing, not calling upon God. That sin will not be forgiven and they will die in their sin. Verse 15.
Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, go get thee unto this treasurer, even unto Shebna, which is over the house, and to say.
Now here is another different story. I don't know, he put it here. He says, go and see the man who works there, and his name is Shebna. Now, this Shebna, we don't know anything too much more about in this chapter, but he is working in the government under the king, and he is also a scribe, means he is a religious man, but somehow he got the job in a king's palace. So he is like in charge of everything. He's doing a treasury work. He's looking after the king's everything. And so he was very proud man. Hey, I'm a king's secretary, I'm king's treasurer, I can see everything. The king doesn't know what's happening in his kingdom. I'm almost a king. And so I do all things. So he was doing everything, but everything selfishly. He was not thinking about the people. He was not thinking about king. He was not thinking about the Israeli people, but he was selfishly spending money on his own luxury. Let's read and you'll know. Verse 16.
What hast thou here, and whom hast thou here, that thou hast hewed thee out a sepulchre here, as he that heweth him out a sepulchre on high, and that graveth an habitation for himself in a rock?
When you're reading this, you will not understand. His language is very difficult. He said, this man is a very selfish man. He said, you know what? Before I die, I want to make my tomb in the rock. So he sends the people, and they have to take the chisel and hammer and break the rock and make like a big tomb for him. It's a sepulcher. So big tomb. So it costs us a lot of money, a lot of work, and he is preparing the tomb for himself, not knowing when he dies, where he's going to die. Sometimes, you know, people think, prepare the tomb for me, prepare the ground for me, and they do everything before they die, and they know now, this is my place, and I'm going to die here peacefully. But if that man might be traveling somewhere and get killed and die, and nobody brings his body, and his tomb is gone for somebody else. This is what's going to happen to this man. God is saying to him through the Isaiah, you know, fool, you made the tomb for you, and you carve everything, and you spend a lot of money. But what's going to happen, God is going to wrap you like a ball. I was thinking in those days, they were not the ball like pushing the air and making the ball. That time they will take a cloth and wrap it around, around, around and make a round ball. That's the way God says, I'm going to do, and throw you far away in the other country, and you will die there. You will never come back. So this tomb is not for you. Okay, please read verse 17.
Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Lord's house.
He says, you are preparing a burial ground for you, spending millions of dollars, but you don't know where you're going to die. God is going to wrap you around like a ball, throw you out in another country, and you go to the enemy's territory, and you will die there. So this is what happened. You remember Arimathea, a rich man, he also did the same way, made the beautiful tomb in the rock, and he was thinking, I'm going to be buried there. But when Jesus Christ died, they said, hey, you can throw his body somewhere else, and I say, oh, no. The Arimathea comes and he said, Pilate, can you give Jesus' body to me? And he took it and he got the best rich man's tomb. So you don't worry. Jesus was not worrying when I die, when I'm going to be buried, because he knew he's going to be resurrected. He doesn't need a tomb. But the temporarily, 2-3 days, he got the rich man's tomb. So we don't have to worry after death what? If Jesus Christ comes today, what Jesus says, if you believe in me, you will never die. And even though you are dead, I will make you alive. So that means people say, oh, Jesus Christ said that was truth or not. He said it. If Jesus Christ comes today, we don't have to die. So whatever he said, it was true. So here this man, his tomb made in a rock, but he's going to die like a fool in another country. Verse 19.
And I will drive thee from thy station, and from thy state shall he pull thee down. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. And I will clothe him with my robe, and strengthen him with thy girdle, And I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah.
Now here God is saying something else. He said, you know, I'm going to find another man. His name is Eliakim. Now this is another person who was working in the king's kingdom. But he says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take your position and give it to him. And then he will be a great man. Not like you, selfish, but he will be like a father to Israeli nations. He will take care of my people. And he will be very honorable man. And so God has selected one person, and the other person is already rejected. So see what God is doing with this man. Verse 22.
And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open.
Now see, this man was given so much authority. You remember if one city or one state likes somebody, a great singer or great man, what they do? They give the key to the city or key to that state. So God says, I'm going to give him the King David's key. Now he will be just like a king. He can do whatever he wants to do in this Israeli country or Judah. He will be a great man. He's greater than a king authority God is giving him. He did not make him king, but he's still secretary. He's still the treasurer. He took the other guy's job. And now he says, this man will be very, very wise man, taking care of a people, and just like a father or shepherd to Israeli people. And he says, I'm going to give him the key. He can open and nobody can close. He can close, nobody can open. This is only said about Jesus. So this is just like a shadow or example about Jesus. And if you read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 or so, he said, Jesus Christ is the one. He's talking to the church of Philadelphia. She said, I keep the open door. If I open it, nobody can close it. And if he closes, nobody can open it. Same way when Noah go in the ark. Do you know who closed the door? God shut the door. So God is the only one can shut and open the door. So our life should be dependent on God. Say, Lord, if you want me to get this job, you open the door. If you don't want, you shut the door. Everything you pray and ask God, God's will. God is the only one has the power to open and shut. When God opens, nobody can close. And God shuts the door, nobody can open it. That's the kind of authority was given to this man. Okay, verse 23.
And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house.
Now he says, I'm going to make him like a sure person. Means, he said, I'm going to fasten him as a nail. Means, nobody can move it. Only God can move that person. Nobody has power to move. Even the king wants to fire him. King has no authority. And God says, I am going to put you in charge, put you in authority, and you will be like a nail fastened. And it's not an ordinary nail. It's a big giant nail. You know, olden days, and now also we do, when they make a house or building, certain places they put a nail. So you can hang a picture, you can hang your clothes, and whatever. And so, in those days, they didn't have the closet and things like that. So, here he says, that nail will be fastened there, and then the people will put all their good, valuable items, like the pots and pans and everything, how they do it, that's the way you will be useful nail in that time. That means, nobody can move you. You will be strong man, serving in that kingdom. Verse 24.
And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring unto the issue, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to all the vessels of flagons.
See, everything very special, expensive things can be hanged on that nail. That means you will be in charge of all these things. You will have power, nobody can move it. And so, this is the way God says. And now when you read the verse 25, God says, I am going to remove that nail. Now, when I was reading somebody's commentary, they said, you know what this nail is? This person, God is not moving this person. God is moving the other person who made his tomb in the mountain, carving and everything. That's what it is. I said, no, this doesn't say about that kind of person, because if you read, it says, this is the king's man, the good man. But he says, this man has the authority. He can open, he can close. He has the key of David, and he is strong man, and everybody will trust in him and depend on him. He will be the shepherd, and he will be the father to people. But this was about Jesus. This is just an example. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus will be the father for the people who are suffering. Isaiah 9:6.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
See, Everlasting Father. So on his shoulder, all the authority, all the things will be there. So this like a nail, fasten it there, and everything on that nail, and this man will be a father, this man be like a shepherd. But that did not last long time. Because what happened, the King Hezekiah, when King Hezekiah was dying, and he has given 15 years, and he recovered, the Babylonian people came to see him, and they were tricky. They didn't care about him. They wanted to see how much money and how much treasure this king has. So they came and say, give a good letter. Oh, this is get well letter, or we are happy that you are recovering or something. So they got the letter. Oh, we heard about you. You were sick and you are healed, and we are very happy, so we came to see you. He said, oh, you want to see my kingdom? I said, yeah. He went to the temple, he showed the temple, he showed the house, he showed the treasury, how much gold I have, how much silver I have, and everything he showed. So, and they left. Then Isaiah comes. Hey, king, who are those people? Oh, those people from Babylon. What did they do? Well, they came to see me. And what did you do? Oh, I showed him everything. Did you show him everything? Yes, I did not hide anything from them. What you showed, they are going to take it away. That's what happened. So I'm telling you, if you buy a new house and housewarming party, don't invite people. They just come, give me $2 gift, and they $10,000 ring, they will take it away. So this is just the pride. Housewarming party is the pride party. Oh, I have a house. Come and see my house. And people come and see, and they steal some of the things that you don't know. Even though they don't do that day, they know where the kitchen is, where the bathroom is, when I can come out the door and this door, and where the treasure is. Everything they see. And that's what they do. So this is what happened. God gave him all this health and treasury and everything. He should be thanking God. But now he's depending on those Babylonian people. Now, this Hezekiah also was, he says, like a fastened like a nail, and nobody can move it, nobody can close, nobody can open. He has all the authority. But see what happens, verse 25. Isaiah 22, verse 25.
In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed, and be cut down and fall? And the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord hath spoken it.
See, here is God is saying, I was talking about this person who will be shepherd, who will be father, who will be in charge, who will be having all of this power. And if this nail was not removed, people will be confused. Oh, this was not about Jesus, this was about other person. I mean, that person's kingdom cannot be until today. When the Hezekiah died, and after that, maybe 4 or 5 kings came after him, and then King Zedekiah, at that time, Babylonian people came and took those people captive, so the nail cannot be hanging there. Everything is gone. So the Jesus Christ is the only one. He lives for eternity. What he says in Revelation chapter 1, he said, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Nobody's kingdom was for eternity. Only Jesus Christ, when he starts the kingdom, his kingdom will be for eternity. When Jesus Christ came first, and Pilate said, are you the king? He said, you said it. So he said, I'm going to release you. He said, no, you don't have any power. Only God has to give you power to release me. But this is my day. This is not my kingdom. But he is a king. So what he was trying to say, I just came to prepare the people for my kingdom. What happened? As soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happened? The devil who is a king in your heart or in your life, he goes out, and Jesus becomes Lord of your life. So you started a kingdom the day you receive Jesus Christ. The spiritual kingdom starts in your heart. And that's why the Word of God says, you are the citizens of heaven. We are living in this world, but we are not of this world. The eternal kingdom is in heaven. But Jesus Christ promised he will come as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will start his millennium kingdom for 1,000 years. And after the 1,000 years, this kingdom will be transformed from here to heaven. But many people do not understand. They will say, oh, this kingdom will be everlasting on this earth. But what Jesus Christ says in John chapter 14, he says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. When I'll come back and I'll take you there wherever I live. And what he says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. But I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. And as soon as the mansion is prepared, he will come. What Jesus Christ is doing, he's doing two things. He is a high priest praying for you, and he is your mediator. At the same time, he is building a new Jerusalem. Now, new Jerusalem is in heaven. And then John says, I saw new Jerusalem coming out of God or coming from God. So the people start thinking that that kingdom came on this earth. To the measurement of that kingdom or that Jerusalem is a huge building. That will not come and stay on this present Jerusalem or this place. Because he just saw coming out of God. But that time, the John was not standing on the earth. He was standing in the mountain in heaven, the highest mountain. That's why he was able to see the building, the foundation, walls, and everything. And so he saw that coming from God, but did not come on this earth. Why? Because if you read Revelation chapter 21, this earth and heaven will pass away, and you will never see it again. And in heaven, he says there will be no sea. So the earth, sea, and all the mountains will be gone when after the white throne judgment, and then we will be with Christ for eternity. That's the way, the right way to understand. But if you say, you ask the Jehovah's Witnesses, Jehovah's Witnesses will say, oh, we are going to live on this earth for eternity once Jesus Christ comes. That's a wrong teaching, because Jesus did not promise us that he will come and start a kingdom and then he will never go to heaven. God is in heaven, and we pray to God, and when Jesus Christ comes, he takes us to heaven, And we will be in heaven because he says, my father's house, many mansions, but I'm preparing a place for you. I'll come and take you wherever I am, there you will be. So that's our hope. And so here, this nail was fastened. The man was like a strong man, God's man, prepared for this kingdom. But his kingdom was not everlasting kingdom. And he was not the treasurer or father or shepherd for eternity. Jesus Christ is the only one can be with us for eternity. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to understand the word of God. Be with us, sanctify us, protect us from all the dangers and harms. Bless your people, supply their needs. Give us grace to tell somebody what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.